Let us open with a word of prayer. And now, Father, as we gather before you around your word, we pray that we would ask your Spirit to teach us, not so that we would simply be more intelligent and have more knowledge, but that your Spirit would work in us towards a changed life, a changed heart, to make us more conformed to the image of your Son. And we pray this in his precious name. Amen. As we study through the Ten Commandments, it would be very easy to simply study them for what they are, a series of laws. But it's necessary to remind you that Christianity itself is not a system of laws. To live the Christian life is not living list of thou shalt and thou shalt not. We as the New Testament church are not under law. The law is not binding to us. We are under grace, and thus we are free to serve God. But the Old and New Testaments give us principles by which we are to live our lives. And the Ten Commandments give us principles which are pleasing to God in the life of a believer. And thus, if you desire to live a life that is pleasing to God, there are certain things that you should not do. Murder is not pleasing to God. Adultery is not pleasing to God. Lying is not pleasing to God. And idolatry is not pleasing to God. And so thus the third commandment was our memory verse this morning. Exodus chapter 20 verse 7 says that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And there really are two dynamics behind the command to this verse. Number one, the first dynamic is it's telling us, it guides what we should and should not say. If you read this verse at face value, it's speaking of the words that we use. We are not to use God's name vainly. And it's quite possible for people and for Christians in the 21st century world to use words that are not appropriate to be used. In English, we call these terms profanity. Profanity or profane, it's an older word which simply means common. And the exact opposite of this word is holiness or sacred. And thus it is possible to speak the name of God as profanity. The most common occurrence of this usage in English is the phrase, "Oh my God."
在英文里面最常用的这样一个错误就是说哦我的神。
Now many in here realize that this is inappropriate.
很多人在这里的人都认识到这样做这样说是不合适的。
And your children in here ought to realize that this is inappropriate as well.
你的孩子也应该知道这样称是不合适的。
And so many will attempt to hide their use of this phrase.
所以说有的人他就会想来隐藏他这样的一种用法。
And they'll use the expression, oh my gosh.
他们会改一个词就是说我的就是把那个神改掉改那个音声音很近的词。
Which is the exact same thing, you're simply hiding one word with another. Both expressions are profane, and both expressions are using God's name in vain. There are other such words that are inappropriate and considered profanity and ought not to be used. And I'd like to state this morning that God is concerned with the words that we use on a regular basis. Let me read for you a list of several verses. First of all, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how you ought to answer each person. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, so that it may minister grace unto the hearers. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. A person who claims, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet opens his mouth and speaks profanity. James, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that man's religion means nothing. It's in vain. James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets the whole on fire, the course of nature, and set on fire of hell. First Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
因为经上说，人若爱生命，愿享美福，需要禁止舌头不出恶言，嘴唇不说诡诈的话，也要离恶行善，寻求和睦，一心追赶。因为主的眼看顾一人，他的耳听他们的祈祷，唯有行恶的人，主向他们变脸。
And thus Christians are to be a holy people.
基督徒应该是圣洁的百姓。
As it says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse
9.
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. If you claim to be a believer, if you claim to be a child of God, then the words that you speak matter. It matters whether or not you use God's name in vain. It matters whether or not you use profane language and swear words. It matters the jokes and the crude speech that comes out of your mouth. And such language is not pleasing to God. And thus, the first dynamic in this third command is that it guides what we say. We are not to use our words vainly. The second dynamic within this command, it guides how we fulfill of what we say. This command is not only speaking of what we say as believers in terms of the words that we use, but also in terms of the swearing of an oath. Oftentimes within the pages of the Bible, a character would make an oath and he would either keep this oath or break it. The oaths that are the most serious are often made in the name of something important. You swear in the name of a God. You swear on a location. You swear on another person. And if the person did not keep the oath that he made, it reflects badly not only on himself, but also on the object which he swore. For instance, one of the oaths that's made commonly by God in the Bible, when you get to the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the nation of Israel is in shambles and shattered. And God makes promise after promise. He swears oath after oath that one day he will restore Israel. And then, in case you don't understand the importance of it, he swears by his own name because by nothing he could swear greater. And so the Bible says in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, concerning a man's oath, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Let me show you one of these oaths that someone makes. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36. We'll look at verses 11 through 13. Second Chronicles 36, beginning in verse 11. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. And we know from other passages of Scripture that his punishment for not keeping this oath was that the king Nebuchadnezzar took his sons and they killed his sons in front of this king Zedekiah. And so that the last thing that he would see on this earth would be his dying sons. They then put out his eyes. And so we know that, for example, in the Old Testament, keeping oaths that are sworn is extremely important. Now, the concept of keeping oaths that are sworn is explained by Christ in the New Testament. The passage that we read this morning was in Matthew 5, verses 33-37. Matthew chapter 5 through 7 is a section known as the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that Christ is doing within the Sermon on the Mount is he is looking at the Ten Commandments of Scripture. The Ten Commandments found in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Exodus chapter 20. And he's explaining the importance of the heart behind the law itself. And so he says that the problem with murder is not simply that you've killed someone. The problem is one of hatred and bitterness in your heart. The issue of adultery is not that you have cheated on your spouse. Is that there is lust that is deep down in your heart. The issue with taking God's name in vain here in this text is that what you have done is that you have sworn by something that you cannot control. You have made a promise that you cannot or will not keep. And so Christ says in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 5, swear not at all. And then he gives a number of examples. Don't swear by heaven, because heaven is the throne room of God, and you do not control the throne room of God. Don't swear by the earth. It is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, it is the city of the king. Don't even swear by your own head, because you don't control whether your hair turns dark or white, or whether you have any hair at the end of your life at all. But the principle that he claims is in verse 37. He says, let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So what Christ is proclaiming, what is to be stated, if you make a promise, you must keep it. And thus, Christians are supposed to be people of integrity. They are to keep their word. And if you make a promise that you cannot keep, or a promise that you will not keep, Christ says that it is evil. It is evil to not keep your word. And thus, there are two principles to be drawn from these words of Christ. Number one, you must keep your promises. And number two, don't make promises that you cannot or will not keep. With the command of Exodus 20, verse 7, it says that you are not held guiltless for taking God's name in vain. If you fail to keep your promises, you are guilty. And in the New Testament, failing to keep your promises is an evil act. So let's bring this down to home. Let's begin listing some of these promises that are made. If you're a member of this church, in order to become a member of the church, you are handed a copy of a church covenant. That says, as a member of this organization, this is how I promise to live. If you're a member of this church, then you have promised to live by that covenant. You have promised regular attendance. You have promised giving to support the ministry of the church. You have promised to pray for the ministry of the church. You have promised to do the work of evangelism necessary to grow the church. Let me briefly ask, have you kept those promises? For those in here that are married, your wedding vows are a promise. It's a promise to love. It's a promise to honor. For some, it's a promise to submit and obey. For others, it's a promise to cherish and to love for. Have you kept your marriage vows to your wife? To your husband? Parents, there are times when you make promises to your children. I promise that I will do something with you tomorrow. I will play with you later. I promise that we will take a vacation next year to Disneyland or something. And whatever those promises are that you make to your children, If you're a believer, you are obliged by God to keep them. There are promises made in your workplace. Sometimes these take part as a written contract. And other times it's simply your employer asks you to do something and you say, yes, I will do it. It is a promise. If you claim to be a believer, one of the things that you endeavor to do in your life, there are times that you'll pray. And you say, Lord, I promise to give you my life. And yet we don't live like it. There are promises that apply with household chores. A child's parent tells him to go clean your room, and the child says, yes, I will clean my room. And yet you go and you do not clean your room. You have not kept your promise. And so this morning I ask you two questions. Are the words that are coming out of your mouth on a regular basis pleasing to God? If there was a hidden camera following you around all day long, let's say for a week, and then you had a completely open week to watch and observe how you spoke and how you lived your life. Would the words that would be coming out of your mouth on a regular basis be pleasing or displeasing to the God of heaven? Second question. Are you keeping the promises that you've made? Are you keeping your promise to the church? Are you keeping your promises that you've made to your spouse? To your children? To your parents? To your friends? To God? We'll close in a word of prayer. Father, the words that we speak are extremely important. And you will hold us responsible and judge us for that which comes out of our mouth. Both for the truth of the matter, did we keep our promises? For the content of the matter, did we speak profanely? We pray, Father, that you would give us grace to speak words that would be pleasing to you. To fulfill the words that we have spoken. It's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.